Pope Francis continues to surprise, naming 19 new cardinals, most of them from Africa, Asia, and Latin America. AP's Francis D'Amelio reports from the Vatican that the new cardinals come from some of the poorest places in the world.
He seems to be paying attention to the places where the church is locally quite poor and have different issues to deal with than, say, the church in the United States or in Western Europe, which is generally an affluent area.
Moving on in the NFL playoffs, the Patriots are in the AFC Championship game after beating Indianapolis 43-22. LeGarrette Blount's 4 touchdowns and 166 yards set team playoff rushing records. Seattle is in the NFC title game with a 23-15 win over New Orleans. Today, San Francisco faces the Carolina Panthers to decide who will play the Seahawks next weekend, while San Diego travels to Denver to determine New England's opponent in the AFC title game. I'm Tim McGuire, AP Radio News.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Everybody get ready for Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. A foodie born and bred, my wife Nikki loves chatting up chefs, dining out, and insider industry buzz.
And my husband David thinks a great meal is nothing but a good burger, a frosty brew, and a check for under $20, because he is cheap.
Well, maybe so, but Foodie married Beast anyway, and together we've got the food and wine variety show that has everyone talking.
It's Foodie and the Beast, and we are on now.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. That cheaper mark always gets a chuckle in the studio, but it's so not true. Look at, she lives in the lap of luxury.
Look at me. Do I look like I'm living in the lap of luxury? I'm not.
Do you look like you're suffering?
I think I'm suffering.
Is that real blonde hair, or does that happen every couple of weeks?
Come on. It happens every couple of weeks.
All right, so we got quite a show. There's a lot of booze on this show, which is good. And a lot of deep thought. It's going to be good.
I don't think there's a lot of deep thought.
Alicia Kleinman is here. Well, she would.
I don't know about deep thought with Alicia. I've only met her now for
about
10 minutes.
Come on. But you're stepping on my time.
Sorry.
Alicia is the CEO and founder of Industry. It's an organization that's committed to bringing all people at all levels in the restaurant industry together.
Spit it out. Go ahead.
I'm going to kill you. In a variety of formats to learn, grow, share, and connect.
Yes.
So there's a lot of connecting. I know I've been to a couple of industry events.
No, you haven't.
A lot of connecting. All right. Hit it.
You're just lying. Okay. And back in studio, we have Chris Becker. He is the exec chef at the Bagby Group. And he brought with him Angie Lee. She's the executive pastry chef of their new restaurant, Cunningham's, which is in Towson. And they're doing some really cool things there. So we're going to find out about that. And we've had both Thor and Leah Cheston on the show before, but now they are coming for a very special reason.
They've had a baby.
Like a baby, just like a baby. Their Right Proper Brewing has opened, and they brought in some growlers. We're going to talk about their new brewery and the restaurant and what they're doing there. We're going to get a whole 411.
And Marivana is the fabulous Russian restaurant that's down in the DuPont district of D.C., and their executive chef, Azamat Zanizakov, and I said it pretty well. Don't you think? Okay.
Da is
in with us today to talk about what's going on at the restaurant. They're celebrating their one-year anniversary.
Anniversary.
Would you stop?
Okay, sorry.
I'm going to bust you one here.
Okay.
Gene Alexiev is Blue Duck Tavern Somm, and he's in to take us deep into the whole positioning, content, and taste of what's going on in Blue Duck's very popular wine program. And he's nodding. He likes
very
popular.
But you should come
popular.
Up to the mic.
So, Gene, let's start with you, man. What's your background?
My background is that I'm a Russian-born immigrant, which I pretend not to be life, unless provoked. And wine is actually my fourth career. So, as most people in the wine industry, you arrive out of desperation or chance and circumstance. So, my initial background is in law and writing. Which helps in terms of communicating to people and also drawing boundaries.
All right.
Okay, what does that mean?
I don't know. It's a mystery.
What?
You know, when my wife says drawing boundaries to me, I just ignore it. So we'll move on. talk about the wine program at Blue Duck, because it's, you know, I mean, Blue Duck is a wonderful restaurant, but the wine list is considered one of the finest in the city.
It's a fantastic program, and I don't say it because I run it. I've inherited a very, very large opportunity. The list is broad. It's deep. The hotel's support is fantastic for the restaurant in terms of providing more or less a blank check to devise a program that is competitive and that is in many ways a reach, I think. The clientele is also supportive of the fact that we go back vintages, we do unusual producers, we do a fairly broad by-the-glass program, which is about 30 pours. So despite not being a wine bar and not wanting to be a wine bar, we offer a very broad range of selections. And as I said, the clientele is sufficiently intellectual, sophisticated, international to support all of those by-the-glass pours and the list at large.
Well, so given the concept of the restaurant, which is pretty much American-based in menu, how do you go about putting together a wine list that complements that?
I think the main complement is that we try to source our food as locally as possible and as much as possible. And so for the wine list, we more or less do the same thing. We have a fairly broad selection of Virginia wines, which are fun to work with because they're highly unpredictable from year to year. So
that sounds like a backhanded compliment.
it's the tough part of the business, which is that you have to taste a lot of wine because there are such inconsistencies.
Life's a beach, isn't it?
It's very tedious.
Oh, how you must
very
suffer
tedious.
For your work.
Yes, the wounds. So we try to work with a lot of biodynamic, organic growers, small production. We don't focus so much on the big labels. We have some representation of known producers. But for the most part, we go to people who have done it for a number of years, just like the farmers have. People who've done it often for generations, including the Riesling producer that I'm going to showcase a little bit later in the show, which is a ninth-generation winery.
Favorite wine.
I hate Riesling.
Okay. There you are.
Yeah.
Make her love it, baby.
Everybody, Tom comes in with a Riesling. They all do. And they're like, no, you'll like this one. I'm like, okay.
It's an addiction and an obsession.
Why do you all like Rieslings? What is it about the Riesling?
What's fantastic about Rieslings, thank you for asking the question.
Okay.
You should ask. Right.
It's a wonderful beginner wine, and it's a wine that people come back to because people's first exposure to Riesling is usually an off-dry or a sweet style. It's easy on the palate. Americans deny their obsession with sugar, but it is there. And so often the white wine drinkers will begin with Riesling. And the more sophisticated their palates become, the more they will travel in different directions. But they will come back to Riesling and they'll come back to it in its true and wonderful execution, which is a dry Riesling.
Okay.
In fact, we don't see very much dry Riesling in this
All right. So, but what are you pouring first? You're not pouring a Riesling first, are you?
Oh, I'd love to.
All right, go ahead. Do that. Let's
very
do
good.
It.
Okay.
Go crazy. While you're doing that, we're going to talk to Alicia Kleinman about industry. So
industry.
Tell us about your background and what happened there to drive you to create industry.
So my background for the past probably over 10 years has been in food and beverage industry in some way, shape, or form. I was my major was fashion, but when after New York kicked my butt and I moved back home after realizing fashion wasn't going to work in New York, I became a personal chef. I quit my job with no clients. Basically, my Jewish mom just nagged me into doing it.
And they do that.
Yeah. And to get her to stop talking about it, I just did it. And before I knew it, I had amazing clients. I was, you know, cooking for all the high-level CFOs and all the banks and working with the wizards and all their wives and doing really cool stuff with no formal training, just taught myself. And then when the economy went to the toilet and I had to get a real job, I became a purveyor and I sold specialty food to basically every single every chef, hotel, restaurant in the city. I opened up the DC market for a Massachusetts-based company. And that's how I developed all the relationships that
So what in all that made you think that they all needed to get together for thought?
Well, after that, I was director of events for Matchbox. And through throwing events, that's what I love to do. And I've always loved to connect people and hear stories. And it's not just about, it's connecting over the stories. And people think that this industry is so pretty and so glamorous. And really anyone that's in the industry knows better.
Right.
And there's a whole business
behind. I was going to say, given that we have like the industry in here every Sunday, I'm going to say glamorous is not a term
describe
it.
Very, very gritty industry. But
you know, Chris Becker looks pretty glamorous.
Behind that plate of food, there's a lot of stories. So I thought, let's just tell stories and swap war stories, trials, tribulations, highs, lows. And, you know, we launched in May and it just kind of stuck. And
So what kind of programs do you put on, or what sort of events do you set up?
So we do 6 speaker series a year where we put really successful restaurateurs, chefs, brewers, distillers, all of those things on stage. They share their stories in a really raw, authentic way.
Is this the back end about the running the business? Not so much.
Yeah, it's like the business behind the food. We do 6 of those a year, and then we're unrolling a new line of programming called Launchology, which is like everything you need to know, the players you need to know, what goes into a lease, design, architecture, technology, the POS systems are changing. So Launchology is coming in February, and it's...
And how are you, like, working with people in the industry to find out what they want? How are you coming up with your, for each sort of symposium, how are you coming up with the concepts and bringing in the right people for it?
Well, the speaker series are really just experience. It's kind of the industry insider swapping war stories. So each one has a different focus. One was chefs, one was restaurateurs. The one on January 21st is the Youngblood. So we have a total...
the 35 and under chefs.
Yeah, it's the 35 and under. So it's Eric from Toki and Spike and Steve Salas with Ann Pizza. So it's all these young guys that have had success, but people laughed at them in the beginning. So it's kind of just talking about the challenges that they came up against being young. So the content just kind of is there. Like, they're just sharing their experiences.
Well, it's interesting you're doing the business side, because a lot of chefs who are great chefs have no idea how to go out and find financing.
Yeah.
How to run the back end, you know, how to run the business of a restaurant. And some of them start restaurants, and they go down the wormhole because they really don't understand.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, I'm sure they understand portion control, but they don't understand, you know, employee benefits and a lease.
Oh,
and
all that stuff, right. And I thought that for the next event, for the Youngblood, it would be kind of fun and cool and, you know, always with curveballs to have Robert Wiedmeyer moderate, because he's kind of the vet and he's so outspoken. So he'll, you know, mess with those young guys and it'll be a really cool
dynamic.
Where
do you hold the events?
We hold them at really cool venues all over the city. So the first one was at the Hamilton and the Howard Theater. This one's at Atlas Theater because it's 8th Street. It's kind of indicative of that, like, young, new neighborhood. We did our first big pop-up party, F Forks.
Right, I remember.
Was in a really cool raw loft space. So I'm always really cognizant of using, I don't want it to be like in the building museum where, like, these fancy, it's very gritty, it's very real.
And, right.
You know, this is interesting because our son Sam is in the management training program with Neighborhood Restaurant Group. He's in Birch and Barley.
Okay.
And he'd like to own a restaurant. And what he's learning now is really the front of the house. And
he's with a really great group that is doing such cool things.
But, you know, we talked about it. Like, where's he going to go to learn all this stuff? So
he has to come to Launchology.
There you go.
So will Launchology be a monthly thing as well?
It's actually a 4-part series.
Okay.
So it'll be a series of 4. The first one is kind of like getting business done, putting the pieces together, like an accountant, a lawyer, and where the panels are going to mix the corporate guys with the restaurant guys. So guys like Kyle Bailey will be on it, Rob Wilder, you know, like the guys that have done it.
But when do you do it? Because they're always working.
There'll be lunches during the day.
Yeah.
They could sneak away.
Yeah, they all sneak away.
Yeah.
If it's important.
I lure them there with alcohol.
Okay, so now are you trying to do, like, are these also networking events? So, like, are you bringing in bankers and, you know, people with money and things of that nature so that people can shake hands and maybe present their ideas? I mean, are you looking to make that happen?
You mean to put them on stage? Or
No. Like, as a part, to mingle and meet.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, I assume that's got to be part of it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I mean, the past events, it's really been cool to see the high level networking that goes on. It's a lot of the companies that provide to the industry. So like the Street Senses, the Miller Walker Retail, you know what I mean? Like Grizz Design, you know, like all those guys, they attend the events because they want to stay connected. Yeah.
Right.
And shake hands and do deals. And it's really been cool to see the relationships, the business deals, all of that that have come out of these events. It's awesome.
So then what's, like, next step for you? Are you looking to do more events like the F event, or are you looking to do more of these sit-downs? What's your long-term goal with it?
So in 2014, we're going to do the 6 speaker series. We're going to unroll Launchology. We're going to do F Forks again. We're probably going to
How many of those will you do?
There's 6 speaker series.
No, the forked events.
F Forks will be one. We're going to try to make it an annual event, and then we're going to probably do a really big party. It's
will
still
you expand
in the
to other cities?
Yeah, we're looking at Philly.
Washington, tomorrow's the world.
Yeah, we're going to go to Philadelphia next. I feel like it's really prime and
so a lot of industry listen to the show. I wouldn't say they all do, but many. So tell people how to find you on the internet.
So it's DC Industry. Industry is spelled like a tree. DCIndustry.com. And there's all the information. There's clips from all the past, you know, speakers and everything is on the site and we're growing, and 2014 is going to be a big year for us. So,
terrific. Yeah. Very cool. All right, great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, cool. This is David and Nikki Nellis for Foodie and the Beast. We've got lots more to come. We'll be right back.
This is Mark Amtower. If you're looking for cost-effective and efficient methods for marketing your products or services to the government or to other government contractors, look to LinkedIn. There are over 400,000 members in the D.C. area and more than 92 million nationwide. But only a small percentage actually use it well. I can show you how to leverage LinkedIn in ways that support your marketing, sales, and business development efforts. I do this for large and small companies, and I can do it for you. Drop me a line at mark@federaldirect.net.
Government contractors are helping federal employees across the country who are losing pay to furloughs. If your organization is asking, how can we help? The Federal Employee Education and Assistance Fund, FEA, offers no-interest loans to feds in need. Loans are made only for necessities like rent, mortgage, or utilities. A recent $25,000 donation by a contractor extended loans by an entire week. Your company can help keep the lights on or ensure a federal family continues to have a roof over its head. Help feds in need today. Go to feea.org/corporate-support. GovEvents.com is your one-stop shop for government and military events worldwide. With hundreds of event organizers posting their government and military-related conferences, trade shows, expos, webcasts, and more, you'll save time and energy using GovEvents to find events to attend, exhibit, or sponsor. Search for government and military events by date, location, keyword, organizer, or focus. It's free, so join today. GovEvents.com. That's GovEvents.com.
This is Mark Amtower. If you're looking for cost-effective and efficient methods for marketing your products or services to the government or to other government contractors, look to LinkedIn. There are over 400,000 members in the D.C. area and more than 92 million nationwide. But only a small percentage actually use it well. I can show you how to leverage LinkedIn in ways that support your marketing, sales, and business development efforts. I do this for large and small companies, and I can do it for you. Drop me a line at mark@federaldirect.net.
I want to congratulate our audience because you are back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. We're going to go back to Gene Alexiev. Gene, I thought this Riesling was very nice.
Thank you so much.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about it?
What did you think of it? Come on. You know what? She's like that at home, too, man.
It's all right. We have plenty of other selections.
I don't have to like everyone,
I say,
right?
What did you think of that last kiss? And she goes, eh. Like, eh.
I mean, I've had it before. You know?
You wait a minute. The kiss or the Riesling?
Whatever. Yeah. It's not important. We can talk about it later.
Okay.
No, I mean, I get it. I do. It just... It feels high sugar to me, and that's why I just don't like it.
That's all right. We have plenty of other selections.
Okay,
and,
great.
You know, that leaves more Riesling for the rest
of us. For everybody else. I know I'm in the minority. I know most people like it.
Talk to us about what you're going to pour next.
Very good. So I brought a couple of things that are very special and that are long-term presences on the list, including the Thabor Janison Sparkling.
A darling of the D.C. community.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Right?
And for very good reasons. To me, this wine is wonderfully emblematic of the intersections of history and time and place. It's made in Monticello, the place where Jefferson tried and notoriously
and
unsuccessfully, very good, to make wine. It's made by two gentlemen, one of whom is actually still based in Champaign, and the other is based in Virginia. To me, undeniably, hands down, it's one of the best domestic sparklings, and it's not just because it's from Virginia. It's just a wonderful Blanc de Blanc, 100% Chardonnay.
All right.
Excellent. All right, great.
The other selections are the Coupe Syrah, which is another...
Well, you know what? We'll get to those when we come back to you later.
Very good.
Because we want to sort
you're
of do it...
You're on every 5 seconds
yeah,
on this
Yeah, so you're
show.
On a lot.
Hang
so we'll get to it.
All right. So we're going to jump over and talk about Cunningham's, which is a great new restaurant in Towson, Maryland, and it belongs to the Bagby Group, with which I'm very familiar. We got Chris Becker back in. He's the corporate executive chef. Is that your title? Am I doing it right?
The president of operations and
oh my
corporate
God.
Chef.
God. Hello. Say it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I don't really get to cook as much. People like Angie do all
right.
the cooking.
And Angie Lee, who's the executive pastry chef at the new Cunningham's in Towson. But they've got... You've got a bunch of restaurants. You want to run the list for everybody real quick?
Right.
Yeah, we have Bagby Pizza. We have 1010. Fleet Street Kitchen. They're all in Harbor East. We have Cunningham's. We have Cunningham's Cafe and Bakery that opens in March. And we have a wholesale bakery as well.
And you've got Cunningham Farm, which is the source of
yes.
a bunch of your stuff, which is pretty cool. So let's take it from the top. Tell us about Cunningham's.
Open November 22nd with Big Hit. Every day has just been busy.
I know, but what's the concept? I mean,
we're like a refreshing approach on a seasonal American grill.
Mm-hmm.
Solid fuel wood burning grill, using a lot of stuff from our own farm. It's tough this time of year.
Right.
Highlighting food that's relevant now, obviously, seasonality, mm-hmm. locality are key.
Well, I was going to say, it's unusual. Most restaurants don't own their own and source from their own farm. Now, you're not sourcing everything, but you're growing a lot of produce. And
we have our own eggs.
You've got sheep,
pigs. Pigs.
Cows.
We just took our first two pigs to the butcher and...
I asked you before, and you didn't answer. Did they volunteer, or are they...
Yeah,
let me be first.
I try not to go up there. It's hard.
You don't
want to
get close.
Yeah.
You don't want to become friends with the animals.
So we took those and we're using them at the James Beard dinner.
Okay.
This week.
Right. So, clearly you want to talk about the James Beard dinner that you're doing a little bit. So why don't you tell us about it?
Well, yeah, with Cunningham's, it brought a lot of press, food arts, mm-hmm. James Beard. So Angie, myself, Chris Amendola, John Aversa, our head baker,
mm-hmm.
and Bettina Perry, our pastry chef at Fleet Street Kitchen, are all going up to do a beer dinner, so we're all going to have some fun.
Well,
for
it's an honor to be invited.
Beer.
That's cool.
Wow.
Yeah, so we're looking forward to it.
Well, so why don't we talk a little bit about how Cunningham sort of fits into the Bagby Group credo, because you guys are really into, you know, doing as local as much as possible. So how, with as you grow as a restaurant group, how do you incorporate your credo into everything you do?
I mean, we, you know, fundamental... classic execution with using local seasonal ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
We try to, you know, tailor our concepts to the market. And
well, whose job is it to find the local resources? Because you can't, in other words, at some point you tap out with this farmer or that, you know, provider of chickens or, I mean,
you have multiple of each. And eventually they start coming to you. It's at the beginning, you know, we went around making a huge list of who we're going to go to, and it gets easier as things go on. You know, they start coming to you. And
we go to the farmer's market every Saturday, and we've developed relationships with those farmers that mm-hmm. actually grow the beans and the fruit.
I was just going to ask Angie, I mean, let's talk about your pastry program at Cunningham's. What is it that you're doing? I mean, you brought in some beautiful things today. Why don't you explain it? And then let's talk about
Don't you pass it around?
And then why don't you talk about what you're doing there?
Well, I mean, being a seasonal local restaurant right now, wintertime in the East Coast, don't have a whole lot of options. So, you know, chocolate is always in season because, you know, we can't grow chocolate or cocoa beans here,
no.
But we do pair with Cho Chocolate, which is based in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
So they do make it in the States.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it?
It's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Thank
you.
Everybody, again, don't let them just
sit there. And this is brown butter Rice Krispie treats with melon salt.
I want that.
So this is something that we will feature in our cafe, and the chocolate bar is a real hit in our restaurant.
For the dessert, okay.
Right. So I like to do, like, kind of classic American takes on desserts and just make
That's
it
good.
Really
yeah,
good and
amazing.
Simple.
Okay,
you know?
So, like, what are some of your favorites that you're making right now?
Right now, I actually just made a hazelnut tiramisu
mm-hmm.
with hazelnut coffee, a mocha ganache.
Yum.
And I just had a diner last night tell me that he's from Italy, and he was going on about how this is the best tiramisu he had.
That's
like, all
so
right.
That's terrific.
Yeah.
So at Cunningham's, is there a bakery there, too, or that's just your, like, can you buy your desserts to go?
Yeah, we have a bakery that'll be opening up in March.
Okay.
Where we'll have scones and cakes. We'll have pretty much the same, not the same, but it'll be a version of what we sell at the restaurant will be available at the cafe.
Okay.
So you can grab a coffee or a breakfast sandwich or a lunch sandwich and
mm-hmm.
pastries. We'll sell our bread retail as well.
This is yummy stuff.
So isn't that a lot with the bread? Because don't you find, like, do you have the capacity to make that much bread? Because I feel like once people start selling bread,
it's crazy.
It's like it becomes like everybody wants
well,
to buy bread.
Well, they're there at 11 p.m. and they bake pretty much
through the night.
2 p.m.
The Cunningham's is operational 24 hours a day. It's mm-hmm. insane.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
And how big? How many seats is it?
180 in the main dining room with mm-hmm. another 90 in a private dining room.
And what is the beverage program like?
Tim Riley, who was with us last time, runs the beverage program. Smaller list, more approachable
because
mm-hmm. you are in the suburbs. But about a
what are you saying? We don't know what we're doing in the suburbs. Where are you going with that?
Just
hey, I resemble that remark.
Yeah, but 2,500 bottle wine list. Beautiful cellar. Mm-hmm. Right as you walk in. You guys got to come up and see it sometime. It's really beautiful.
Absolutely. We'd love to see it.
Let's go now. All right. Well, make sure everybody knows how to find you guys on the web.
Mm-hmm. We're at CunninghamsTowson.com. Mm-hmm. Right. We're located at 1 Olympic Place, Towson, Maryland, and the phone number is 410-339-7730.
Towson's what, about a 50-minute drive from here?
Yeah, about that.
All right.
Cool.
So don't be wimps.
Go
down there and go to Towson.
Also, you can always go to Baltimore and check out your other restaurants as well.
Fleet Street Kitchen, Harbor East, and 1010, yeah.
And Fleet Street Kitchen is awesome. All right, man. Thanks.
Thank you guys for coming in. Thanks for
the fabulous
dessert.
All right, so let's get Thor and Leah up to the microphone.
Switch.
We met Thor. I don't even remember where you were working. Where were you working?
Oh, I do. Started with,
Brasserie Beck. He was the beer meister there.
Yep.
And he has since met, fallen in love with, and married Leah.
Mm-hmm.
And they have since left everything else and opened up.
No, she's still at Riz.
You're still at Riz?
Yes.
She's still the one making all the money.
Yeah. Maybe
she's
we should talk
fueling
after the
his
show.
Dreams.
Right, but they opened up a great new brewery called Right Proper Brewing, and you guys take it away. Tell us.
Why.
Tell us all about it. We have a 5-barrel brew pub, about 105 seats, 115 seats actually. We just added some seats.
Located exactly.
We just put
where?
Some chairs in there. Here, you can sit here.
Exactly. right next to the Howard Theater, 624 T Street is the actual physical address.
Mm-hmm. Any beds in case you got to lie down?
We are moving into an apartment that is directly above the brewery.
So if I need it, I can just
go
upstairs.
My God, I think there's something really wrong with that. It's
either the best decision or the worst
decision.
Right,
it's one or the other.
I don't know.
Bring your work home with you.
Yep. So we have 8 faucets running at all times, anywhere between 6 and 7 are
But why
hours.
Do this? I mean, what was it that you said I can do better or in a different way than what's happening elsewhere with craft beers?
I don't think I can do anything better.
Be careful. Dave Coleman is listening.
Yes. Dave, you better not say it, Thor.
I love Dave Coleman. I just think that D.C. needed a good neighborhood brew pub.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Well, and you opened up in a real neighborhood. I mean, that area, you know, with Derek right around the corner.
I would
Howard
say
Theater,
between
really
80 and 90% of our guests are either walking or riding their bikes, which is fantastic.
Yeah, amazing.
That's exactly.
Perfect.
Amazing.
I had a conversation with someone the other night, and I told them that I lived in DuPont Circle, and they said, oh, my God, how do you get here?
Stop it. That's not true. Just,
I'm serious. Like, what do? Do you take a cab? Is that awful? Because they're used to riding their bike or walking everywhere. They
I mean, you
to
could
go.
Ride your bike from DuPont. What is it?
Yeah, like, I do ride my bike from DuPont.
Like
but.
15 minutes.
So, but let's talk about your concept. Because first of all, you guys kickstarted it, right?
A little bit. Indiegogo.
Right.
Yeah, Indiegogo was a crowdfunding campaign. We got just a little bit of money, a few thousand dollars that we used to purchase some used equipment. And what that did is that really kickstarted. for lack of a better term, us lowering our initial capital budget, which actually allowed us to move forward with our lease negotiations. And so it was like this crazy semblance of different things coming together.
Getting it together.
Yeah.
So let's talk about how the concept evolved. I mean, what you wanted was a brewery first and foremost,
right.
And then a restaurant concept on top of it.
Right.
So can we talk a little bit
I
about both?
I wanted a very, very, very casual, warm, loving neighborhood restaurant where it's less about winning a James Beard Award and more about just providing that really good sandwich consistently for an affordable price.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the best things that I've heard. The feedback that we've heard is that our prices are really good and affordable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our check average is $17. And that's people coming.
Wait.
My kind of restaurant.
I mean, you're talking his language.
But a bing, but a boom.
A sandwich.
Is there next
beers.
Room in this apartment or no?
And so we just want to be that wonderful, consistent place where people can come and not break the bank, you know, and kind of an extension of their homes and extension
so
of their
So you don't
kitchens.
Have, quote, you know, a hot chef in the kitchen necessarily? You have
we're very proud of our chef and we're very
He's
proud
really
of
good looking.
Our food God menu.
God damn it.
You said
our food is actually really great. And it's
always
Well, let's just
quickly talk
surprise.
About the menu because we're going to have to take a break in a minute. But talk about the menu.
In
and
a
it's...
minute?
My God.
Sorry.
It's exhausting.
Leah describes the menu better than I do.
So our menu is basically casual American with a nod to Southern comfort.
Okay.
So we have ham biscuits and fried chicken parts, a delicious fried chicken sandwich.
Like beets and
parts
feet?
Parts.
Like what kind of parts?
Livers, hearts, Gizzards, okay. Mm-hmm. Delicious, actually. Okay. Mm-hmm. And fried chicken sandwich, chicken and dumplings, meatloaf.
Oh, that sounds great.
The lamb sandwich is delicious. Mateo Richardson.
Okay. And how did you guys come across him?
He was a reference from a good friend of ours, Aaron Keller, who's the general manager at Maple.
Okay.
And they've known each other for a while. Matt used to be the chef at 1905, and he moved down to Richmond.
Oh, okay.
And now he's, we brought him back.
You brought him back. Very cool. All right, we're going to take a quick break. But when we come back, I want to talk about the profile of the beers you're making and what people should be ordering when they're there. Okay, this is David and Nikki Nellis for Foodie and the Beast. We're drinking beer, Dave Coleman, and it's not 3-star.
Ha, ha,
we'll be
ha.
Back in just a bit.
Government contractors are helping federal employees across the country who are losing pay to furloughs. If your organization is asking, how can we help? The Federal Employee Education and Assistance Fund, FEA, offers no-interest loans to feds in need. Loans are made only for necessities like rent, mortgage, or utilities. A recent $25,000 donation by a contractor extended loans by an entire week. Your company can help keep the lights on or ensure a federal family continues to have a roof over its head. Help feds in need today. Go to feea.org/corporate-support. GovEvents.com is your one-stop shop for government and military events worldwide. With hundreds of event organizers posting their government and military-related conferences, trade shows, expos, webcasts, and more, you'll save time and energy using GovEvents to find events to attend, exhibit, or sponsor. Search for government and military events by date, location, keyword, organizer, or focus. It's free, so join today. GovEvents.com. That's GovEvents.com.
Do you own a home or have plans to in the future? Don't miss Real Talk Washington with me, Andy Sikora, Sundays at 12 noon on 1500 AM. You'll get all the information you need to know about what's happening in the local real estate market and how to take advantage of that knowledge. Whether you're buying, selling, or investing, join me, Andy Sikora, for Real Talk Washington every Sunday at 12 noon right here on 1500 AM.
This is Mark Amtower. If you're looking for cost-effective and efficient methods for marketing your products or services to the government or to other government contractors, look to LinkedIn. There are over 400,000 members in the D.C. area and more than 92 million nationwide, but only a small percentage actually use it well. I can show you how to leverage LinkedIn in ways that support your marketing, sales, and business development efforts. I do this for large and small companies, and I can do it for you. Drop me a line at mark@federaldirect.net.
Hey, it's David and Nikki Nellis back on Foodie and the Beast. And we're sitting and talking to Thor and Leah Cheston about Right Proper Brewing. And apparently Dave Coleman is listening, but we can't hear him. Isn't that great? Hi, Dave. Ha, ha, ha. So this beer is delicious. There's a smoky aftertaste. What is it?
So our brewer, Nathan Zender, is just absolutely phenomenally talented. And he's been doing this whole series of very, very low alcohol beers, very small in terms of concentration of alcohol, but also very complex and very, very tasty. So this is a very old Polish style of beer called a Gratzer, which is a smoked wheat beer.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And he used both oak and beechwood smoked malt in it. It's very light. It's just over 5% alcohol. And the wheat provides a really nice palate for the smoky flavors of the flavors of the smoked barley to come through.
Yeah, it's delicious. So how did you decide in working with him on the kind of beers that you wanted to pour there?
Nathan pretty much makes one beer for me, which is Raised by Wolves, which is an aromatic pale ale.
Okay.
I'm at a point in my beer dork. I'm at the final stage of beer dork.
Okay.
Which is I know what I like, and that's what I want to drink.
Oh, and that's it.
Just go up in a puff of smoke after that.
But I'm always happy to taste other things. I'm always eager to learn about new stuff. But when I want to drink a beer, I want what I want, which is always a nice kind of hoppy pale ale.
Okay.
So we have an aromatic pale ale that we call Raised by Wolves,
mm-hmm.
which is a nice little play on the Latin term for hops. That's my go-to. And then Nathan has creative freedom for everything else. And so he's been phenomenal at just reviving old styles of beer, brewing beers that really don't fit into any sort of category.
Okay.
He did a pale ale that was fermented with a Trappist beer yeast. He's done, he did a Wee Mild, which we just sold out of last night. It was only 2.9% alcohol.
Okay.
And you could just sink your teeth into it. It was absolutely delicious.
So,
I want to know, like, how much are you making of each beer, like, when you're doing these batches?
So each batch is 5 barrels. Each barrel is 31 gallons. So,
okay.
Just over 300 gallons of beer. Did I do that right?
Okay. She's
two
like,
plus
yes.
two.
And
how long does it take you to kind of run through that?
It all depends. We have Nathan does some beers in an open fermenter, and those ferment out very, very quickly in just a few days. Other beers, he's done larger, more complex beers that require different stages of fermentation, and those will take a few weeks.
Now, he keeps making beer, and how quickly do you run through it?
We've been open for a month, and we've sold over 3,000 gallons of beer.
Wow.
It's
That's amazing.
Everyone's head is just completely spinning. We had no idea.
Literally, it like, probably
we,
is.
We knew that people wanted to come out and drink beer, but our heads just can't.
Now, are you serving just your beers there, or are you incorporating?
No. Being in the beer industry for over a decade.
Yeah, be careful
now,
of how you say it. It's industry.
Industry. I've developed a lot of really solid relationships and a lot of respect for a lot of other breweries, and I always want to honor those. And so we always have a guest tap, so featuring one of our friends and their beers on.
Not Dave Coleman, of course.
We sold 4 kegs of Dave's beer last night.
Okay.
Dave's beer is good beer, but so I don't know what I would ask. Wholesale to other people?
We are legally allowed to, but right now we're just trying to keep up production for the guests that are walking in the door.
That's a good problem to have, isn't it?
Right.
Nice.
And we just started growler sales a couple weeks ago, so that's working.
So that's Saturdays, right? On Saturdays?
Well, you can get anytime you're there, anytime we're open. We're open 6 nights a week after 5 p.m.
Right.
So closed on
Mondays.
You're
just closed on Mondays
right
now.
What do you do, run from wrist to...
Yes.
To Write Proper?
She's like, I'm at Wrist full time, right. And then I'm at Write Proper the other 2 days of the week.
No, it's great. And so when we leave here, we're going straight to the brewery, and then I'll tweet that we're open for growler sales because it's I'm there. All I'm doing is going to be like coding invoices, so I'll be happy to fill a growler.
Too late. Nikki's probably done
it
already.
I'll do it right during the commercial break. So growler sales today.
Yeah, growler sales.
Right after the show. 12:30, 1 o'clock?
1 o'clock.
All right, 1 o'clock.
All right, well, let's make sure everybody knows physically where the
actual address is 624 T Street. If you're looking at the Howard Theater, bend your head a little bit to the
right there.
And you're looking straight at us.
Awesome.
Right Proper.
And online?
Online, www.rightproperbrewery.com. The website's not exactly there yet.
So you can go there, but don't bother.
Facebook, Twitter.
But make sure you poured yourself a beer before you go.
Yeah.
Well,
Facebook,
congratulations to both of you.
Thank you so much. It's really exciting,
and much success to you both. So
thank you. It's always a pleasure being on the show. It's great having you.
Thanks.
Well, we want to bring your beer guy in. So later, we definitely want Nathan to come in and
absolutely
do a little bit of pouring on
him. Absolutely. You need like a 2-hour block of time because he'll just keep going.
All right, good.
Okay, we'll buy an extra hour.
Okay.
Sure. Okay, thanks, guys. Gene, step up to the plate here. What have we got?
So I'm featuring a couple of things today that are dear to my heart and I think are some of the most iconic wineries in the United States. Tablas Creek is one. It's a co-partnership of the parent family from Chateauneuf-du-Pape makes fantastic whites and reds there, and the Haas family, which was originally an importer. They do all Rhone varietals, so primarily Grenache, Mourvèdre, a little bit of Syrah, and they're fantastic blends. What I love about the winery is that it's mostly blends. So they do a few single varietal bottlings, but for the most part, blends tend to be more versatile. Mm-hmm. They tend to work better with a wide variety of food. They tend to bring people together in a wonderful way. The other winery that I'm highlighting is the Coupe winery, which is biodynamic and organic and is also focused on the Rhone varietals.
Is that what you poured us? What is this red that we have here?
That is something else altogether. That is my Terry Germain 100% Cabernet Franc, which you don't see very much. And again, the focus here is on highlighting wonderful monovarietals, and Cabernet Franc tends to get lost in Bordeaux blendings. It's usually a very small percentage, and people don't get to experience it very much. On its own, it's fantastic. It's rustic. It's disjointed in a good way. And it's definitely a meat wine. So I would do it with charcuterie. I would do it with our signature braised beef dish at the Blue Rock Tavern.
I don't think it goes bad with Angie's chocolate bars. I think that's
quite nice.
Because you're a gluttoon. Mm-hmm. But it would be good with cheeses, too. A nice, sharp, stinky cheese
Indeed.
Would be great with this.
Yes.
Wow, look what you've learned. Oh, my God.
Isn't it great?
That's amazing.
She likes to make sure the microphone is on before she gets condescending. Jeez Louise. You're horrible. All right, so what will you pour next?
I will pour you the Syrah, if you would like.
Yeah, sure,
which
absolutely.
Bob Lindquist Winery. It's been around for about 25 years. It is in Santa Maria Valley, and they source quite a number of things as well. Again, Bob Lindquist is one of those people who walks the land every day, and I think it's a nice tribute to him to feature his wines. We also feature a 2001 from him on the list, and we just actually opened a bottle last night. And for 13-year-old wine to show so youthfully and so beautifully, it was really stunning.
Oh, my God, here comes that hunk of meat that we were
there
talking
you are.
About.
And she's referring to me, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much. Okay. All right, you get to pouring, Jean, and we will now talk to our friends from Maravana. Maravana is the huge 6,500-square-foot, big restaurant, a restaurant down right near the Mayflower. And Victor Starr, did I do that right, Victor?
Yeah.
Okay, good enough? Yeah.
Yes.
Is the GM. And the executive chef is Azamat Zanizakov. He's with us as well. I don't know where he went.
He's coming.
Kitchen.
He's welcome to kids this
And the restaurant's celebrating its one-year anniversary, and which is a milestone because many restaurants, as we know, open and close so quickly. But yours has really established a place in D.C. Tell us about the restaurant.
So the restaurant concept came from Russia, and we're trying to combine the house and grandmother's apartment together. So it's not actually a house or apartment. So it's like a combination of both. And trying to bring hospitality, the Russian hospitality, to the United States to show how the Russian people behave, how they show respect to each other. And the actual story from Russia, from Maravana, is that it's the old lady, the mythical story, this old lady, and she used to love to cook, and she always opened the doors. So she used to leave her doors open, mm-hmm. and everyone who smelled the food, he can go in.
And that's my kind of restaurant, free, right?
it's like a mythical story.
Hey,
for that.
Nice. No, I don't.
It's
like,
a myth.
Yeah.
So I'll have to pay. That stinks. Now, my grandmother was Russian. Her apartment just smelled like old lady.
That's really nice.
But
thank
this
you.
Food is good. This food is gorgeous. Look
okay,
at
so that's
that.
The story that? Of Maravana and what. How did it come to D.C.? How is it? What is it today? Explain it
I mean,
a little bit.
The company decided to grow up and go under the ocean, so don't stop just in Russia area. Mm-hmm. And it opened the first restaurant in New York, and it was 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. And right now we opened the last year in Washington. And
there's one in London too, right?
Yes, we have in London, and we have in Los Angeles.
Los nice. Angeles, L.A.
It's like 8 months ago.
Wow, that's amazing.
And all restaurants works pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk to the chef, because you brought in some amazing looking dishes here. What do we have?
We have like...
You need to come up to the mic.
We have two dishes like from a winter menu. It's like first dish is like a lamb shank, and the second grilled salmon.
Oof. Well, so let's talk about the menu concept at Maravana. I mean, for people who aren't familiar with Russian cuisine, what can they expect to find on the menu?
So mostly we're trying to put the Russian dishes, mm-hmm. but the menus that...
But what does that mean? What is Russian dishes mean?
It's like traditional like borscht. It's Russian traditional soup.
Mm-hmm.
Also alivia. It's Russian traditional salad.
Mm-hmm.
So this kind of items are trying to
what
get
about,
on the
don't
menu.
You guys have a caviar bar?
We have. This is, I mean, this is the traditional that we have. The
right.
Black or red caviar with blinis.
Mm-hmm.
So we have on the menu.
Okay.
Pierski.
Nice.
Yeah.
I mean, with those items, the Russian cuisine is not going to be Russian. So this is like
okay
priority to have at this one.
And so isn't vodka also traditionally Russian?
Today we brought the infused vodka. I guess this is the most popular.
Okay.
For Russian. And it's based on berries and... veggies.
Now, do you do the infusions, or you?
Yeah.
Oh, you
so
do.
We're gonna tell a little bit
Wait,
about
so
that.
Infused vodkas in it's general
vodka.
Are very big in Russia.
Yes.
Okay. And did you say fruits and vegetables?
Yeah.
Interesting.
So we brought like five today.
Okay.
From the We have a lot, like 16, 17 flavors, and we brought like a couple of them. And infusion goes like from 4 to 10 weeks.
Okay.
So right now we have about 600 liters on the house.
Okay. Infusing. And so tell us about like what kind of, I'm curious, what kind of vegetable ones are you doing?
So for example, for berries, so we have the blackcurrant, we have strawberry, we have blackberry.
Okay.
And just, we have pineapple.
Mm-hmm.
And do you just experiment with how much to put in and just taste it?
We have the branch chef who's working on the old locations. Mm-hmm. And he brought his recipe from actual Russia.
Okay.
How much fun is that?
Yeah,
and we're trying to update. So we have seasonal menu, and we're trying to put something new. So the last was pumpkin.
I was going to ask if you did pumpkin for the holiday. How did that come out?
What does pumpkin-flavored vodka taste like?
I don't know. It's
Probably. Wait, let me make the noise for you. There you go. It can't be good. No, no. Pumpkin and vodka can't be good.
With a little bit of
a little blackberry
and
or a little blueberry or something, it'd be good.
Yeah, we have all that. So trying to get all those. We don't have apple right now. Probably maybe. So summertime, we're going to get apple.
Nice. Okay. That would be good.
All right. We're going to take a quick break.
Mm-hmm.
But I think during the commercial break, we're all going to be sipping some vodka. This is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We'll be right back.
Government contractors are helping federal employees across the country who are losing pay to furloughs. If your organization is asking, how can we help? The Federal Employee Education and Assistance Fund, FEA, offers no-interest loans to feds in need. Loans are made only for necessities like rent, mortgage, or utilities. A recent $25,000 donation by a contractor extended loans by an entire week. Your company can help keep the lights on or ensure a federal family continues to have a roof over its head. Help feds in need today. Go to feea.org/corporate-support. GovEvents.com is your one-stop shop for government and military events worldwide. With hundreds of event organizers posting their government and military-related conferences, trade shows, expos, webcasts, and more, you'll save time and energy using GovEvents to find events to attend, exhibit, or sponsor. Search for government and military events by date, location, keyword, organizer, or focus. It's free, so join today. GovEvents.com. That's GovEvents.com.
This is Mark Amtower. If you're looking for cost-effective and efficient methods for marketing your products or services to the government or to other government contractors, look to LinkedIn. There are over 400,000 members in the D.C. area and more than 92 million nationwide, but only a small percentage actually use it well. I can show you how to leverage LinkedIn in ways that support your marketing, sales, and business development efforts. I do this for large and small companies, and I can do it for you. Drop me a line at mark@federaldirect.net.
Government contractors are helping federal employees across the country who are losing pay to furloughs. If your organization is asking, how can we help? The Federal Employee Education and Assistance Fund, FEA, offers no-interest loans to feds in need. Loans are made only for necessities like rent, mortgage, or utilities. A recent $25,000 donation by a contractor extended loans by an entire week. Your company can help keep the lights on or ensure a federal family continues to have a roof over its head. Help feds in need today. Go to feea.org/corporate-support.
We are back on Foodie and the Beast, and we're talking about Mariana, which is the Russian
Marivana.
Yeah, you had too much vodka already. Marivana, sorry. The Russian restaurant down at DuPont Circle, and I have been sampling a blackberry-infused vodka that is so good.
No, the winner is the horseradish.
Hey, wait, I want to know if I'm slurring.
Brilliant.
Am I slurring my words yet? This is delicious.
But the cucumber dill is good, too.
Yes, the first comes horseradish. This is the best seller that we have.
I bet.
For the whole year.
So when people come into the restaurant, and, you know, this is true. Back during the Cold War, the U.S. propaganda machine painted Soviet cuisine, Russian cuisine, as boring and, you know, boiled potatoes and whatever. So when people come in, do you need to educate them? Are they surprised at what they find when they get past caviar?
Depends who is coming. For the Russian people?
No.
No. Right. For the Americans, yeah. We need to try to explain them what is, for example, hearing undercoat.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't understand how you can eat beets and herring together.
Oh, I understand that, baby.
David loves herring.
Yes, so this kind of items, I mean, you know.
Right. But I mean, when you get past, you know, when Alexander Ovechkin comes in, he knows what to order and all that. But when,
yeah, and we know actually what he's ordering.
Sure, but when people come in off, when people come in off the street, do they need an education?
A little bit.
Yeah? All right.
And so let's talk about how you guys do it. So you do lunch and dinner, but The third floor is a lounge.
Yes.
So is that a club at night? How does that work?
So it works Wednesday. We have karaoke night, so it starts 9 o'clock.
And is it American karaoke or Russian karaoke?
It's like,
do we have to sing in Russian?
Top 40s. You can sing. Yeah, you can sing Russian, American, Spanish. Doesn't matter.
Okay.
We have like
10,000
songs.
Everybody gets so drunk they don't know what language. It could be Korean.
Especially with that horse.
It's coming like 12, 1 a.m. Yeah.
But that's a big hangout, right? Late night?
Yeah, it's like Wednesday, so we have the Wednesday special like karaoke because nobody has it in the area.
Mm-hmm.
And like Friday, Saturday, it's the same as Golden Triangle. Everyone has the party, so.
That's the area.
I know, we got to go there.
Okay, go ahead.
This is for me.
And also,
well, I was raised on borscht and sour cream. I'm a paisano here. So.
And also, third floor we're using for the events, so it can be party, it can be wedding, it can be just... Birthday party,
space.
No.
Do you do a lot of special events there, too?
Yeah. Awesome. Right now, we're very busy, so you need to place the request, like, month, you know, in front.
Right. So, just lastly, it's your one-year anniversary. What are you guys doing to celebrate it?
We will have party.
Mm-hmm.
So, we're inviting VIP guests and regular guests. And after 9, we will have open for the public, the third floor. So, everyone can come, you know.
And when is it? The party.
I mean, everyone can come listen to music. We'll
no,
have
he
DJ.
Wants the date. What's the date of the party?
21st.
Got it.
There 21st. We go. Okay.
Yeah. All right. So,
thank
and how
guys.
Do we find you online?
Online, it's marijuana.
That that sounded
you.
Like marijuana.
M-A-R-I-V-A-N-N-A
at...
Rue.
Okay.
And the address is 1141 Connecticut Avenue.
Great.
Washington, awesome.
Everybody's
got to
go try that horseradish vodka. It's
I
got to
go drink vodka and do karaoke. That's what I got. All right, guys, thank you very much.
Thank you, Chef.
All right, so let's get back to Gene. Gene, this is your grand finale. What are you going to pour next?
Well, I think we should start with where we began, which is with sparkling. And I know Nikki is familiar with the Thibaut Janison, but
well, he's been in a couple times. He's so lovely.
Yes,
he's a great guy.
He's fantastic and a wonderful host as well. I think the sparklings are underestimated in terms of restaurant food and what people drink. Sparkling, including, of course, champagne, is one of the things that can carry you through an entire meal. It's refreshing, it's light, it's usually low alcohol, and I wish people drank more of it, and I hope they will.
Great. Well, I'm big on the bubbly. I mean, I think it goes with everything, so it's totally worth doing.
I brush my teeth with it.
Yeah, whatever. But what's your bubbly program like at Blue Duck Tavern?
Well, it's an extensive list, and including large format bottles, and we focus, with the rest of the wines, mostly, though not exclusively, on what are called grower producers. They're very small producers that are small production and usually are imported by... tiny, almost boutique companies.
Well, explain what you mean by large format. Maybe everybody doesn't understand that.
So large format is anything that's larger than the usual 750-milliliter bottle.
Mm-hmm.
They extend into magnums, which is primarily where we focus, and then they go out from there. The large format program also extends to our lounge at the Blue Duck, and on Tuesdays we're actually opening large format bottles to let people experience unusual... aged wines are like, which you don't get the opportunity to do. So
when you say you're opening up a large format, are you opening up magnums or are you going even bigger?
We've done mostly magnums, although I have been crippled by a 6-liter that we opened a little while ago.
What does that mean? What do you mean you're crippled by it? Like you drank too much of it?
Well,
or you didn't
it
know what
made
to do
me look like a
wine
midget, I think.
Okay. So when you let people know about that, do people just come out of the woodwork for these
things? Well, we usually tweet the day of what we're opening, and we generally schedule things in advance, although we also can shift directions. But we've opened wonderful French wines, wonderful American wines, including a Stag's Leap 1983 cask barrel, which was unbelievable.
Oh, wow. What happened to that today?
Gone.
I'm just kidding. People just have to follow you on Twitter to find out which large format.
That's
can you
correct.
Give us a little peek at what you're going to open up on Tuesday?
To be honest with you, I'd rather keep it a secret. I'd like people to come in.
Oh, my God. Why won't you tell us?
We're going to open a wonderful Ribolla from 1985.
Oof. Okay, there we go. I got my info. Very cool.
A celebration of the cold season.
Excellent.
All right, just in case there's anybody out there that doesn't know where the Blue Duck is, it's in the Park Hyatt Hotel on 24th Street, right off of M Street, and it is a gorgeous